Good morning, everyone, and praise God on this worship morning. Come on, let's clap our hands and bless God today for his grace, for his wonders, for his love and his kindness towards us. We thank God today for everything, and we thank God for all things. And when we give God our thanks, it's not based on our saying that it is good or whether it's bad, whether it's to our satisfaction or whether it's really to our well-pleasing. We're saying, God, we thank you today because we know that you know not only our present, but you know our future. You know not only where we are, but you know where you're taking us to. So, God, since we have such trust and confidence in you, it is right now that we say thank you. We say thank you for all things because we know that in you all things are perfect. This is the hour of worship now where we set aside everything but our thoughts, our praise, and our worship towards the Lord. Amen. It is not the time now to start thinking about how you're going to work things out. For if you turn your hearts to the Lord right now, if you turn your mind to God right now, God will give you the solution to the problem. He will give you a sense of direction. He will give you the next step. Turn your heart to him. Incline your ear. As in the book of Revelations, it says, hear what the Spirit has to say. This is the posture that we want to take right now, and that is to turn ourselves unto God and say, God, speak to us right now. Give me what I'm to do next. Show me right now, God, in this presentation of this worship experience, whether I'm in person in the sanctuary or whether I'm listening by some media stream, right now, God, I want to hear from you. I need to know what to do concerning my family, what to do concerning my job, what to do concerning my health, what to do concerning my children, what to do concerning the next move I make in my business. God, I need to know what to do next. And I'm going to turn everything that I'm doing right now over to you, yes, so that I can know what to do next. Yes, I need to know, and I gotta hear it from you. Yes, God, I've heard from others, and I thank you for the people that are around me. You've given me some wonderful people, yes, who's given me some good advice, yes, and who have encouraged me like none other could as a friend. Yes, but right now, God, I need to hear from you. I need to know what you want me to do concerning the life that you've given me and the purpose by which I live. As we're coming into the sanctuaries right now and our ministry team is ready to come forward, I see Sister April that is standing there. And I'm on a smaller screen, but I think I see Sister April there. And we're ready to hear. If it's not, it's Sister Taffney, whoever it is, that they are ready to bring us into this place of worship. Come on and clap your hands one more time. Come on and let's bless God with the beauty and the beauty of his holiness in the mighty name of Jesus. God bless you. Welcome to Sunday service at Nations Harvest.
Good morning, everyone. And as always, happy Sunday to me. And I have a spirit of praise upon my lips this morning. For the word said, if God is for me, who can be against me? Amen. I was reading my word on this morning. It was saying, I'm just like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water that bringeth fruit in its season. And I am so glad that I have an everlasting fountain that flows, that brings fruit inside of me. And I hope that you have that flowing water that's running through you. I hope this morning that you are deep and rooted in the Lord. Amen. I hope that this morning that whatever comes, whatever storms, whatever situation, that you know that to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord. Amen. We just welcome those that are watching us. We just thank you for your continual faithfulness every Sunday. We just love those that are from all over the world, as well as our family from Cleveland, Ohio, our family from Florida, our family from Atlanta. We just love on you on this morning, amen. And as I get ready to bring Sister Taffney up, I just ask for a little prayer for my little girl, Kennedy. I know that God is a healer. I know that he's a deliverer. I know he's a restorer of health, amen. On our way to church this morning, she got sick. But I told the Lord, Lord, I'm going on anyway, because I got to praise you anyway. I'm going to leave that at home. I'm going to come and give you praise, amen. I was also reading in my studies on this morning is that that we need to start wearing the garment of praise. God has taken us out of that spirit of heaviness, that spirit of mourning. So this morning, as before Sister Taffany gets up, where's your garment of praise on this morning? Where's your garment of thanksgiving on this morning? Because it's because of him that we live and we move and we have our being. So every time we come into the house of the Lord, we should be excited and we should have a praise on our lips. We should have a hallelujah in our spirit. We should have a thank you, Jesus, in our spirit. We should have a hallelujah anyhow in our spirit. Amen. Amen. We're going to have Sister Taffany come up and bless us with our word of exhortation. Let us receive her by saying amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister April. Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody seem like they still asleep or something this morning. I don't have a whole lot this morning. I just want to kind of come from 2 Timothy 3:16-17. But before we go there, let me ask a question. How many of us, you know, sometimes we can be doing things and people around us wouldn't believe the things that's going on in our house or in our life, and we say things like, I need to have a reality show. I need to have, because nobody would believe the things that I'm seeing or believe the things that's going on around me right now. We need a reality show in our house. How many of us could honestly say that we would be okay with the camera following us every day of our life? Every day, or just, okay, 3 days of our life. How many of us could say that we will be okay with that?
No.
Mm-mm. Great sermons aren't preached, they're lived.
Come on now.
They're lived. So if this camera is in your face every day, or every other day, or just 2 hours of a day, what are you doing in your life that is going to lead to the sermon that people can see Jesus through you?
Come on now.
When you pass away, the way that you have lived, no minister should have to get up and have to preach or talk to your family or remember anything about your life.
Come on now.
Your life and your sermon, your life, the whole existence of everything that has happened in your life should be your sermon.
Oh, yes.
That should be your eulogy. The way that you have lived should be a eulogy for your own self.
That's right.
For your own self. Nobody else should have to stand up here and tell what has happened in your life. This should not, that should never be to me. And God knows that I'm not perfect. I do not want a camera in my face all the time, because when somebody pull out in front of me on 67, it's not going to be nothing about Jesus. It's not going to be nothing about Jesus coming out my mouth. In Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scriptures is God-breathed.
Yes.
And it's used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness.
Yes.
So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Yes.
For every good work.
Yes.
When we get back to the oracles of God in this church being a place regarding authority and guidance for something, I don't want to say this and sound no kind of way bad to nobody. When we get back to what our parents and their parents did regarding coming and the thoughts of being in church, such as good morning, I'm glad to see you, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, no matter what they look like, no matter what they smell like, no matter where they were last night, no matter what they were doing last night, that you seen them, that you shouldn't have been where you were, but you saw them and they didn't see you.
That's right.
There is no reason for us to come in here. We're supposed to come in here and love on people.
That's
And God is supposed to judge people.
That's right.
We are not supposed to come in here with a judging heart at no point.
Amen.
at no point. We ought to be able to come in this door, and when we see people come in here, regardless of what they look like, what they smell like, where they've been, who they used to be, what they have on, that should never be a factor once we come into the house of God. It should and once we get back to that, then we'll start to see a change in the way that God moves in our life. We'll start to see a change in the way that God move on this earth. We're sitting here saying, you know, there was a thing people always talk about, the world is changing, and we use things like the social media. People, every time they're doing something for somebody, they want to show it. They want to show it instead of trying to help somebody. You got to start helping people and quit worrying about who see it.
That's right.
You can't worry about what other folks see you doing for somebody. Everything that you do should come from your heart. You need to learn how to come in here and be loving, not just in church. That's why I said, take that camera outside and follow you around every day, not just when you in church, not when you in here smiling in people's face every Sunday. What happens when you leave here on Sunday? What happens when we get to our job and somebody make us angry? What happens when we are in Walmart and somebody is in line with 90,000 items and you got one and they put all that stuff up on that register and you like, you could have just let me go in front of you. What happened? No, because at that moment, we having a whole lot of stuff that's going through our mind, and it's nothing about Jesus. It's nothing about Jesus. You change your attitude, and you'll change your altitude. As we prepare now to bring our dynamic pastor, who is standing over there like, put me in, coach, like he's ready. He's ready to come to bring this word this morning. And I just want everybody to stand up and praise him and clap, not for him, but for who God is in him. Who God is about to bring the word through him this morning.
That's right.
Not
That's
for
right.
him, but for who That's God right. is in him.
That's right.
That's my bishop.
Hallelujah. God bless you, Sister Tiffany. Come on and let's just give it up for the God that we serve. Amen. Come on, let's give it up for his power. Let's give it up for his oversight. Come on, put your hands together just for a minute. Come on, help me, you guys. Help me, you guys. Come on, come on. Put your hands together. Just bless him. Tell the Lord, Lord, I thank you today. Come on, God, I thank you today for all that you're doing in my life. Amen. Tell the person next to you, if you're next to them, say, I thank God for you. Amen. You're special in my life. Tell them right now, you're special in my life. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Eternal Lord, we thank you so much today for everything that you're doing. We thank you for how you have shared with us that which is so precious in life, and that is he, the Holy Spirit. He is the closest that is to us. It is he that watches over us. It is he, O Lord, the Holy Spirit, that is present in this time to teach us the things of God. Without him, we would not know you. Without him, we would have no relationship with you. Without him, God, we would actually be just a ship without a sail, simply forms, beings together, put together with no sense of direction. So, God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit this morning. We ask now that that self-same Spirit that you've given unto us will entreat us. Take our minds right now, God, and just rapture them. Just take them under total arrest so that we can put things right side up, our spirit, our soul, and then our body. And this we ask in Jesus' name. And they all said amen, amen, and amen. As you're seated in the presence of God, you know, I'm just so excited. Down just a little bit I needed something to keep me coaching, but down just a little bit inside the house, sweetheart. You know, in Matthew 1 and 21, I want you to notice something that it says there. And it says, and his name shall be called Jesus. And his name shall be called Jesus. And his name shall be called Jesus. And here's what his job is. And watch the specialization of his job. For he will have only one job. His name is Jesus. And he will have only one thing to do. And I'm going to name him what his job is. His job is to save people from their sin.
Yes.
Do you know anybody that has a specialization in what they were born to do and handle it the way that Jesus did with what he was born to do? Now let me talk about you. In your times, doctors specialize in oncology. Doctors specialize in dermatology. They specialize in anesthesiology. They specialize in immunology, especially in times like this with monkeypox and COVID. We need them in their specialization so that they can give us some sense of direction of what vaccination that we need next to help us in boosting up our immune system against all of the impurities and the bacteria and the viruses that are floating. And they specialize in it. But not one of them specialize in saving lives like Jesus. Jesus made a name for himself by making his name do exactly what it was supposed to do, saving people from their sins. His specialization is salvation. Can you say amen?
Amen.
What was his specialization? Salvation. Now, what can we all claim in here from his specialization? He saved me.
Wow. He saved me.
He saved me. That's why Christ was so successful. It's because he came and got you. Out of all of the millions and billions of people in the world, people with money, prestige, honor, people in high places, people who really were good at what they do, but God came and got little old you. Born in just a small place that was insignificant, nothing significant about your name, and you can declare today, because he specialized so well in what his job was, is that he saved me. How did he do it? That's the question. Now let me tell you. He stayed focused. Unlike I do. I got excited when I opened the business, and man, I was going to make it be a Fortune 500 company, because no one was going to treat electronics like I did. I've lived long enough now and my tools are sharp enough that I'm going to get in there and I'm going to learn. I know how to market and I know how to brand myself and brand my name and paint my picture and paint my signature and all of these things. But then there are some days that I just lose focus. And the last thing that's on my mind is electronics. I got other things on my mind right now. I don't have time to make the business better. I don't have time to take it to the next level. I lose focus. Jesus never lost focus. Even when they were crucifying him, piercing him in the side, crown of thorns on his head, giving him vinegar, gall for water, he still came out with that profound quote and said, "Father, forgive them." He specialized in what he came to do. I just can't do it. I'm not able. Customer give me a little lip and I'm sick of them, I'm tired of them. I hope I get the attitude real quick. I'm not gonna miss your money. I'll be glad I'll pay you to leave. But Jesus, even after they spat on him, even after they mistreated him, he just reached down and touched him, heal him, make him well. I can't do it. How about you? Are you able to, you know, take somebody who do you a wrong and then turn them a justice? People who throw shade on you. Are you able to actually call their name in your prayers and say, Lord, keep them? Christ was so successful because he stayed focused. Now, you're in pursuit of making whatever it is that you do better. Say amen.
Amen.
Even if you're retired, you want to be a better retiree. I'm home. I'm there every day. I go out on the porch. I make my good cup of coffee. And I sit out on the porch and I just enjoy the beauties of God. But you still want to do that better. You want to feel good about getting up. Even if you couldn't sleep the night before. Because God, you've let me live to see another day. I need to get better at getting up. Even if all I do is absolutely nothing. And you're trying to do. Now, to those of you that are right there at that hitting edge. You're in your 30s and in your 40s. And you're ready to get this thing going. You got it now. I've been through the ups and the downs. I done got the short end of the stick, and I got this thing now, and I'm ready to take what I do to the next level. It doesn't make any difference, I'm talking to you, whether you're working for someone else or the buck stops right there with you, whether you're a business owner, whether you're a top employee or you just got hired. You're ready to take it to the next level. That spirit in you is the way that God created you. It's because everything about you is supposed to change. Everything was supposed to move forward. It was supposed to be progressive. That's why you're always looking for better. Don't feel bad because you want a raise. It's not that it's going to be that much more that's going to change your income, but it's that I'm always looking for
something better.
I'm looking because I brought something to the table and I feel like what's on the table ought to be good for me. I want to go to the next level. But even though you want to go to the next level, things ain't getting better.
Come on.
They don't feel you. They're not giving you what you feel like you deserve. I've got news for you. That's because you're not specializing in what you were gifted to do. You need to pray right now, even while I'm speaking. Lord, give me a revelation that make what I do rare. Driving a truck. I don't want to be like every other truck driver. I want the way that I drive a truck to be rare. A whole lot of people are into healing folks. Some of them used black magic. Some of them used and called on false gods. Jesus simply came and he gave his life. That's because he specialized in what he do, and the way that he did it was completely rare. Right now, you ought to be praying. You ought to be praying, Lord, give me a revelation that will make what I do rare. God, make what I do and the way that I do it, unlike all of the big box companies. Because after all, I'm in competition with a whole lot of people that handle electronics. But the way that I handle them, God, I want it to be
rare.
And the only way it's going to be different, Kenyon, is you've got to pray, God, the way that I handle things and the way that I do things is rare. You don't know how many times Jesus would go to the Father and he'd say, Father, this is going to be a little tough, but there ain't nothing that you and I can't do together. When Jesus touched a woman with the issue of blood, you better believe there were a whole lot of folk looking that were saying, how did he do that? Let me tell you something, and then I'm going to go ahead and give you a sermon today. Say this with me. The seed is inside of me. Here's the revelation coming. You prayed. Now here comes revelation. Say it one more time. The seed is inside of me. You will not get greatness from education. Why? Because education can't give you a seed. Education can only refine the seed that God already put inside of you. I thought that the only way that I could become the great man of God is that I had to sit in a classroom to get some master's degree or some degree of doctorate or earn it by some educational matriculation. The only way that you're going to be really like successful is that you've got to sit in the classroom and you got to put in the hours and you got to burn the midnight oil. Oh, was I ever so wrong? And I should have read what I was reading when Paul looked on his wall and saw all of his accreditations, all of his certifications of how he could speak in all of these various languages and how he was an ambassador for all of these different countries, and Paul could go in and out, and he looked at his wall and he said, it ain't nothing but dumb. I wish I had read that before I sat through some of them classes. Y'all don't know how many times that I would actually sign up for the class statistics. 3 times, that's how many. And every time I'd get to that class, after about 3 class meets, I'd drop it. Because I ain't going to waste my money and I ain't going to waste you all's time. And I permitted statistics to hold me back from ever going farther, because where I needed to go, statistics, was between where I was and where I wanted to go. But little did I know that education was not going to give me a seed. Everyone that hears me right now, you're born with a seed. Come on, say it with me. I have a seed. I have a gift. I was born with it. Now, y'all ready for this? Let me show you how Jesus stayed focused. Have you ever seen a tree take its fruit to the market? Have you ever seen an apple tree reach down with one of its branches and pick it up and beg somebody to buy it? Have you ever seen a lemon tree get so excited about being successful in being a lemon tree that it start to shake and shiver until it just spreads its lemons all over? And even if it did, they would only go so far. But have you noticed what a fruit tree does? Keisha, this is what it does. It simply brings forth fruit. It brings forth its gift. And here's the secret. The market rushes to the tree to take its fruit. You're chasing success when success is really coming towards you. When you do with your gift what Jesus did with his gift, you'll stop looking for people to make you successful. People will find you because of your success. Y'all not hearing this? You're not really hearing this really good. I'm going to preach in a minute. I'm just giving you this because I had this on my chest. Because I look around now with where I am and I ask God the question, but God, how did I get here? What did I do to take myself from the dusty roads of Moulton Heights, Alabama,
with a father who made meager earnings and a mother who didn't even have a job but just raising the kids. All they could leave us, I do believe, in our educational fund was, I think, the three of us got $300 apiece for our college fund. That was all. But they knew we were going to need something, and they wanted to just put something in. And I say, God, but how did I get here? And now I start thinking back on those days when, as a pastor of a church, I drove an old van because it was the business truck that I had in my own business, and it didn't even have a reverse. But I dropped my pride, and I'd pull it in so that I didn't have to back up when I get out. Nobody had to give me a push off to leave. And my kids didn't know any better. They just sit up in there like we was riding in something just good. They didn't know that when we went to Barnhills or one of the buffets, y'all better eat everything that y'all can while y'all here. And I always had one that I tell them when I tell them how old you are. That's how old you are. Days that I had to say, it's going to be all right, when I didn't know where the next was going to come from.
Come on now. Yeah.
And I had to try to encourage a wife. When she was looking at her, not a whole lot coming in, but she made me feel like, you go, boy. Yeah. And now I get there, and I say, Lord, which turn did I make?
Jesus.
Which direction did I take? It got me to where I am now. That I can look across right now and say, I don't deserve. Because when I look at what God has done for me, it has to be because of the seed that he sowed that's causing the blessings of God to chase after me. Instead of, I don't have time to ask God to give me something. I'm too busy saying, God, thank you. I just don't have no time now in my prayers to say, Lord, but could you please, because the prayers are all taken up with, God, thank you. And I want you for just a few seconds now, and it don't make no difference how many seconds it is, 5, 10, 15, it don't matter. And I'm going to get ready to give you a sermon this morning now that I gave you this motivation, and I want you to drive. But God will have people looking for you just to receive your gift. If you go ahead and stay focused like Jesus, folk will chase you down.
Yes.
Everything that I learned from somebody else.
Yes.
But when I got it,
yes,
it was to my uniqueness.
Yes.
I want you to just praise him right now.
Yes.
I want you to praise him right now. Wherever you are, come on, the seed is inside of me. Come on, the seed is inside of me. You can do better than that. The seed is inside of me. Come on. Come on, just raise your voice and say, Lord, I thank you. God, I thank you. God, I thank you. Come on, God, I thank you. Look at somebody and say, look at your blessed self. Oh, my God. I remember my wife saying some years ago, you got to be out of your mind. I'm not a business owner. I'm going to let somebody else have all the responsibilities. But God said, I put a seed inside of you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now look at your sister, sister. And you look back at your sister and say, we didn't do it, but God did it. And have you noticed that that little seed, and all it was a seed of faith,
yes,
that it took to show up with one child, that now have them knocking your doors down and have to wait for 2 or 3 years just to come through. You ought to tell God, God, I thank you for the seed that's on the inside. And I got one bit of good news. I guess it's going to be good news. God ain't through yet. As a matter of fact, I hear the Spirit saying, God say, I ain't even gotten started yet. While you ready to give up, I'm just ready to turn up. And I'm going to turn up in your life right now. And to anybody in here that think they're getting old and you think you passed your season, you don't understand that there are many seasons. You just know of four: spring, summer, fall, and winter. God say, I got a season of prosperity. I got a season of wealth. I got a season of well-being. I have a season of just strong mental being. I have a season. Where am I? Have you ever been in a struggle? Get your Bible. To point you where. Well, you're just in a struggle and you're to the point. I want to encourage somebody this morning with this. You're in a struggle to the point to where you're just tired of fighting. I gotta hear whether they say, what's the cliche, whether rubber meets the highway, you're tired of struggling. And the next thing that you find yourself doing is you just drift. Because you're tired of struggling. And you drift and you drift. There have been times in my life, and I'm going to be honest with you. You see me with a level of energy. You see me with a level of excitement, but there have been times in my life, and they're probably going to be maybe another day in my life, though I pray they get lesser and lesser until they become none, that I just feel like just drifting. Why? Because the struggle just get you to the point to where you're just tired of fighting. Because I felt like everything that I've done in my power, I thought that I'd come to the place where, I'll just take the bird in the hand because I'm not going to worry about the two in the bush. But actually what I was saying was, God, I'm not even looking forward to a future because the present right now just seemed like this all I'm going to ever have. I'm talking to you. And you actually get locked up in the present as though there is no future. But did you know that promises spell future? The promises of God is what he has told you is on its way. Now I have a question for you. Have you ever tried to force yourself to be comfortable with being uncomfortable? Ask yourself, have I forced myself to just go ahead and be comfortable in an uncomfortable situation? In other words, I don't want to be here, but I just may as well just be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Have you ever tried to force yourself to stay somewhere where you didn't really want to be? That could be in a relationship, on a job. Sometimes just being a mother is not the joy of being a mother. You just force yourself to stay there. Have you ever just forced yourself to stay somewhere where I just really don't want to be here right now? Because you had to come to the place where all you wanted to do was just throw your hands up. I didn't say you did it, but I thought about it. Come on, let's be honest. How many thought about throwing the towel in? Y'all can understand what I'm expressing right now. I've gone through it in my life, and other people around you have gone through it also in their life. Now, the attitude is this. Why should I keep trying to expand my horizon? Why should I keep trying to move forward? Why should I keep trying to advance to the next level? Y'all feel the struggle right there. I've tried and I've come against so many forces that's working against me that I may as well just do what? Just sit where I am. You know, Job did that. Y'all remember what he did? He just sat in the ashes. He just sat there. The man that sat at the pool, he just laid there. But every time that he would get ready to get up to go to the water, by the time that he made it there, the miracle was over. So he got up some days and said, I ain't gonna even try. I'm talking in somebody's life right now. I ain't. And I'm trying to be messy in your life is because you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. But I want you to know I got some good news for you. God understands why you're there. He knows why you're there. You ever heard this word in the Bible? It's called despair. Your dilemma in the Bible is called despair. It's that place where you just want to sit there and say, oh well, come what may. Now I'm talking to some folks and I'm talking to some people that's been there and they know what I'm talking about and they're doing everything they can to never end up there again. Minister to somebody right now and say, God knows where you are. Let me tell you why he understands despair. He understands despair because whenever your future becomes questionable, catch me now. Whenever your future becomes questionable, God says, now I have given you a measure of faith, and you're supposed to be building on that faith. And that faith is supposed to move you on. You're supposed to be energized in your faith. But when your future becomes questionable, like, I don't think I'm going to be able to get out of this one. He understands it. God will allow you for a certain period of time to wallow, indulge in what is called despair. Just for a moment.
Just a little while. You all have been there. Just for a little while.
Oh, he could come real in a hurry and snatch you up out of it, but he'll let you just stay there. Adam had to get lonely before lonely could be called lonely. And it's not because Adam got tired of being lonely. It's because God said, you're lonely enough. And then he said, it's not good. No, not just man, this man. God have let you stay right there, and I hear him say it right now, it's not good that April wallow in despair. Yes. But I needed her to stay there long enough to know that whenever your future becomes questionable, when you start feeling as though you need to stay right there in your present, feeling that nothing is ever going to change, I needed you to stay there until you almost wanted to give up your dreams. Who am I talking to? It's all right for you to go ahead and just be a living testimony that you want to give up your visions. Give up your purpose, wandering around because you feel like everything is going to always be the same. Oh, well, I may as well just get used to it because nothing is ever going to change. Now, let me tell you something. The devil is going to use that. He didn't cause it. Wait, let me take a moment. I got to slow down right there. He didn't cause it. He just wants to use it. God is ordering your steps. Your steps brought you where you are. You're in a moment of despair. The enemy wants you to think that it's for a lifetime. He wants to make you think you don't have a future. It's going to always be like this. Cassie, you'll never forget that day that I hit my toe on the corner of that bed. And you're still doing it. You're laughing. And I'm still trying to figure out what's funny. Because, Keisha, when I hit that toe that day, God, everything that I was left me. And if she wasn't by herself, everybody in the room laughed at me. Now, I had a lot of fight in me then. I wasn't going to lose my relationship with God, but I was. They don't realize I'm ready to hit something and you're laughing? It's because things can get so tough that it seems like it's never going to go away. I felt like my toe was going to hurt like that for the rest of my days. That's why sometimes you get in a situation, you say, Lord, take me. Because you feel like pain is never going to end. Now, the devil wants you to think that. That's what the devil wants me to think. But what I didn't realize is that God had designed me so uniquely that the reason you feel the pain is because the blood has already started to rush to the injury. And healing hurts. It's going to hurt for you to get better. Uh-huh. Don't medicate yourself for the pain always. Sometimes you got to know that the pain is just an indication that the healer is on the way. The only reason that you're going through is because recovery is coming. The breakthrough is on the way. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Then the devil knows that if you put any energy into making anything change in your life, then that means that you have actually overcome the mindset of being stagnant. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? He wants you to be in the mindset that all you need to do is just stay right here. Don't look forward. It has a lot to do with the energy that's put into something. Y'all got to catch this right now. Anybody here have it now to try to find energy somewhere? You need to get something to get energy? That's because the devil have you locked up in what's called despair. Catch this. Your energy level is always depleted whenever you begin to believe that whatever that you're working on and you want to come to pass is never going to come to pass. He will come in and zap your energy. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? Do you realize that addiction starts with you taking a pill to fix something that a pill can't fix? To try to overshadow something that is really not. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? You gotta know that sometimes the battle is in the mind of your spirit. It's not really physical. It's just in the mind of the spirit. And you think that taking a pill is going to make it better. And then you take another pill. And then you take another pill. And then you take another pill. And you take another pill until soon. You ain't got no mind. I'm here this morning. Because you just kind of write it off as a waste of time. Now here's the good news again. Say it with me. God understands this. He knows this about me. Somebody tell him thank you. And he's going to allow you and he's going to allow me to wallow, stagger, stumble, welter in despair just long enough until we figure out. Here's my punchline. Here's your shout right here. He going to let you stay there. Somebody say, how long? Not long. Ask me again, how long? Not long. He going to let you stay there until you figure out that the biggest vision, the greatest dream that you ever had, it didn't come from you, but it came from him. God said what's inside of you that makes you want to get up and go on. Yes. I put that inside of you, yes, and I'm going to watch over it.
Yes.
Did not the word declare, I will watch over my word, and I'm going to perform it.
Yes.
See, you're not giving up on yourself.
Yes.
You're giving up on me. It's because I hold your future. Somebody ought to praise him here.
Yes.
And if it comes from God, then surely somebody declare he gonna work it out. If it come from God, and it did, come on somebody, he gonna work it out. And yes, you gotta wait on him to work it out. And you've gotta know that he's gonna work it out. Now come on, let's have some church and then let's go home. The best way to wait on God is to wait with a praise. You knew when you got up and opened your mouth this morning that you were going to already say what was going to be preached, because the Spirit is so intelligent that you can't say nothing different. Somebody just going to resound what you already said. You're going to say, yes, he's good. Somebody going to holler all the time. And then somebody going to say it all the time. He is good. The best way to wait on God is to praise him. If you sitting there, instead of despair, you ought to go ahead and just blossom open with a praise, no matter what your situation is, no matter how difficult things are. The best way to wait on God, he said, and if I be lifted up, I'll draw. Now I need somebody to speak this over their self. Are you ready? The promise will come to pass. And it will not tarry. It's on the way. It's on the way. It's on the way. As a matter, it's happening right now. This word right now, I'm being washed in this word. I'm being saturated in this word. I'm feeling real good about myself. And devil, you ain't going to dupe me either. I know tomorrow is Monday. And I know I'm going to have an attitude tomorrow. But it ain't going to stay like this, devil. God got a 401k. Plan that's set up for me that ear had not seen, ear had not heard. Y'all ain't ready to see what God. Sometimes God puts us through. Write this down. Practical strategies. And then you're going to ask me what it is, and I'm going to tell you what it is. It's called a practical strategy. Now you hear it in what I said. The words are right there. Practical strategy. Strategy is a comprehensive action plan. That's all a strategy is. You ever said, I got to get a strategy? I just need a comprehensive action plan. That's all a strategy. Comprehensive action plan that is going to make a long-term effect. In other words, a strategy ain't a quick fix. Strategy ain't putting some water in some yesterday spaghetti. That's a quick fix. A strategy is when you find a way to make a large sum and preserve it for later days. It's a comprehensive action plan that leads to a long-term outcome. Y'all with me? Now what's practical? Practical is concerned with actually doing something. I tell my wife all the time, if it ain't practical, I can't use it. That's not practical. That's, oh, I better be quiet, because new living room furniture. Sitting good, looking good, just been paid for, to come in here and change something. I just want to give y'all an example of practical. Now let me move on. But when you put practical together, it's a comprehensive plan for a long-term outcome that requires you to take action right now. Now, you're on your way out of despair, and what God does is he puts you through a short period of what's called practical strategy. It means that I'm going to do something now that is a part of a plan. My plan for you is that you shall prosper. Come on, Jeremiah 29. My plan for you is that you should have good success. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Gonna make in the desert place water spring up. I got a plan, right? Now, you got to make this practical. It's because you've got to act no matter what things are looking like. No matter how dark things are, you've got to act. Somebody say, I got to act. Because nothing can happen unless you act. Are y'all with me? So now let me drive down my point. You got my subject for today's sermon. Put it up. So they can get the scriptures. That's not it. That's all right. That's not it. It's not the right day. Practical strategies. Wrong day. Practical strategies. Watch this. 2 Kings 5 and 1. I'm finished. I promise you I'm finished. 2 Kings 5 and 1. His name is Naaman. What's his name? Naaman was a captain of the host of the kings of Syria. He was a great man with his master. He was honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. By him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. God used him as a part of a plan. And he was a what? Great man. He was an honorable man because... Why was he honorable? Because the Lord gave him. But don't nobody want to be Naaman, because Naaman was a leper. Now, how can I have all of that going on inside of me, but I'm a leper? Now I want you to find the leprosy inside yourself. That means there is something inside of you that's working against you being the best that you could ever be. And it really has nothing to do with what God has you doing, but it has to do with how you feel about yourself. That's why you're in despair. You see, you've been in some bad relationships that have you feeling like you are nothing but just a failure. When God says that I brought you through, because every time you went through, I'm driving this home right now. Every time you went through, you were just like Naaman. Every time you went through, you were just like Naaman. I was having you to dunk yourself in the dirty Jordan. But it was just a practical strategy. For every time that you went through one of those bad relationships, I was purifying you of something that you had to get rid of. You never lost because they left. You became better because you were finished with that practical exercise. You don't realize that I brought you through that to show you that you do have a future. It just wasn't with that. Naaman, go dip yourself in the Jordan. Watch the practical strategy. But God, you make some pure water. You make the rivers of Papar. Y'all see it right there in the text. You make all of this beautiful, wonderful water. Have me to do it there. No, I want you to go through just for a period. I didn't tell you to put your head in there and stay in there. I just want you to dip. Now go ahead and look in your past and say, I done dipped through some stuff. But everything that I came up out of, some of y'all dip through a little alcohol, you dip through a little drugs, you dip through a little of this. Some folk came and dipped in your life and they did what? Dip right out. You didn't get rid of them. God, oh God, y'all not hearing what I'm saying. You didn't get rid of them. God just moved you higher.
He just moved you on. You've been through. Somebody say, I feel like Naaman. But now watch what happens to Naaman after the seventh time that he dipped. I want y'all to read what he looked like. Let me just describe it the way. It says that his flesh was restored and he became clean like that of a young boy. But if you ask me, I would ask God, God, what does dipping in a dirty Jordan have to do with dermatology? God said it was a practical strategy. It was just something that I took you through that was going to have long-term effects. Do you realize the pain and the tears that you shed have made you the strong person that you are? Y'all not hearing what I'm saying, but while you were going through it, it felt like it was never going to end. But somebody right now in this room is standing to their feet because what you thought you would never come out of, look at you right now. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? But I want to know how many of you all, while you were in it, you went ahead and you say, I'm not going to wait till the battle is over. I'm going to shout right now. Somebody don't know that you have praised your way out of a whole lot of stuff. There are a lot of times that I wasn't even in church. I was at home all by myself. And I got by myself and I walked from one room to the next room. I didn't call a preacher to rub no oil on. I didn't call the saints to pray. I just started walking through my house and say, Lord, I praise my way right to where I am. One more practical strategy. Matthew chapter 5. Verse number 1, and it says, and Jesus appeared on the shores of Galilee. He looked out on them and said, have you caught anything? They didn't recognize him. They say, Lord, you know, we've been fishing all night long. I'm talking to somebody that's over 40 now. You've been at it for a long time, and I ain't caught nothing. I haven't caught a thing. But the Lord is telling somebody right now, it's just a practical strategy. I need you to do what I say do right now. Take your net off of that side and put it on. I'm going to show you how to work it like nobody else worked it before. I'm going to show you how to do it like nobody else do it. Y'all don't know what you're doing to 50. You don't know what you're doing to 55. Folk looking at you and they say, you don't look it. I know I don't, but you don't know what I went through to get here. God put me through some practical strategies. And whatever you see, I don't see it, but God wants you to. He wants you to see it. Because where I am, I'm just a living testimony. He said, I want you to cast your nets now, and I want you to cast them out on the right side of the boat. I hope you're ready. If you're not ready, look at your neighbor and say, get ready. It's because you're about to bring in a drought that what you have ain't able to hold it. You think that God left you in an apartment. God says, I'm about to turn your surroundings. I'm about to convert your surroundings into, didn't I tell you, in my Father's house are many mansions. But I'm not going to have you living in many mansions like a project liver. But what I've got to do is I've got to get the project mentality out of you before I take you out of the project. I've got to take you out of the poverty mentality. I've got to get you out of that mindset so that you can stop thinking poverty and start thinking kingdom. I've got to take you out of. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? And all of you are, some of you in here right now. I'm finished. Come on and come to your feet. Help me close this now. Tell your neighbor you're just one praise away. You're just one praise away. You're just one praise away right now from just opening your mouth and say, God, if it had not been for you that were by my side. And Lord, I thank you right now. Come on, somebody. I will bless him at all times. And his praise will continually be where? In my mouth. Come on now, continually be in my mouth. I want you to make it just practical right now. Get up in the morning. Make plans. Put it on your calendar. Put it on your things to do. When you get up in the morning, and if you're living with somebody, I want you to remind them. I want you to take about 3 or 4 minutes to yourself and get off your regular schedule. And I want you to give God an on-purpose praise for what you heard today. Because God is dropping right now inside of you what's going to take you, and it's going to catapult you. It's going to move you now into a future that God has for you. Come on, somebody. It's just a practical strategy. It's just a practical strategy. Come on and tell God thank you. Tell God thank you right now. Out of moments of despair, God's taking you. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God. Note to the enemy.
He's worthy. He's worthy.
What you meant for bad, it worked in my favor. That's a note to the enemy. Is that what you meant for bad, it worked for my good. For every sad moment that I had, it caused me to perfect my praise. You had me thinking that I had to come to church to worship. I had to come in a building with everybody else just to lift my hands. But it's what you took me through. It caused me to know wherever I am at any time, at any moment, I can praise him. That seed is inside of all of these that hear my voice right now, God. And it's coming up. I bless you today, God. I thank you. I thank you for every practical strategy. It bettered me. It grew me up. In despair, that's what the writer said. But I'm not consumed. You said it. I'm going to go through it, but just for a moment. God, somebody getting up right now, shaking themselves off. You spoke to somebody this day like you never spoke before. Not another sermon, but it spoke a life into them, God. A drive, a motivation like never before. Come on and clap your hands right now in Jesus' name. Because I'm always looking for better. I'm looking for what's best. I'm going to keep on doing just this, people. I'm going to keep on coming, driving. That's right. I'm your hype man. I'm your spotter. Preacher does all of that. Y'all know what the hype man is. That's the man behind, that's standing behind you, want you to be energized as you move forward in your purpose. That spotter is the one that's standing by in case things sometimes get a little bit overwhelming and you're trying to get that one more out, if you're pressing it. He's just there not to take it from you, but just to assist you while you get it out. I'm your hype man. I'm your spotter. I'm there to keep you encouraged while God moves you. I believe that everybody in this room, both young and old, especially these young men, I don't know how far I'll be here to see them as they come up and they go, but success is all in their future. I watched all of the posts of the children that went back to school their first day. They're going to need you through the rest of those days too. Don't make the mistake by making them feel special on the first day, because where they're going to really need you is on day number 10. Because my niece came home and she said, I'm through with this year already. Because she has already assigned a test in the first week and all of that. Now,
She gonna need more than just the first day picture. She gonna need you to give her some of that every week. Take a picture just because they stayed in there, because they hung on in there. I need y'all to plan to do that. I'm gonna take a picture of you because, well, it ain't the first day. Now listen, they ain't gonna be all G'd up either. Because, you know, after that first day, it don't matter. 3 weeks, it's going to be wrinkled. Some of it's going to be dirty. Because you're going to be the one asking, did you wore that? Did you wash? No. It ain't going to matter. But they still going to need you to take a picture. And tell them that you're going to be successful in this day. Y'all going to do that for me? I needed this moment to spend with you, to take both the young and all of you that are all the way up here. Sister Tucker came in. Now, you know she's the oldest at Nation's Harvest. And she asked me a question, and she put it on me. But the anointing flows down. And she thought she was going to drop the bomb on me. But you may be the oldest, but the Lord put me to watch over your soul. And I put the ball right back in her court. And she asked me, why don't I? And I said, even if I don't, it's between you and God that you do. I ain't preaching because I perfected it. I'm preaching it because it's true. If I did half of what I preach about, I'd be already in glory. I'm preaching it because it's true. Now, if I haven't perfected it yet, that don't mean because you heard it, it's on you to perfect it. So that's what I told her this morning. When she came in there and told me, well, why don't you, why ain't you? I said, well, now I tell you what, now that you know it. See, I don't know. She went on. She didn't stay. Amen, amen. She going to call me later, too, but that's okay. She going to go and think. Because, see, she played life is like chess with her. She's going to go and think about what I said and think she's going to come back with something else. But Lord going to keep me ready because he knows she got some wisdom that I don't have because it comes with time. But we're going to be right here. And we're going to do this back and forth until we finish our course. Come on, Jock, and let's bless the Lord in our giving. I love you so much. Kenyon, it's so good to see you, man. And be here to, with your church, man, and to watch you be such a stronghold to your brothers. And I saw you yesterday and I FaceTimed you. And you had your brothers with you, sharing your seed. So that they could start working their seed. God bless you for that, man. God bless you for that. Thank God for you. Taffany, thank you for pressing your way through. Amen. Without a doubt, this morning was difficult. But God is a deliverer. April, daughter, sick. It's a lot to say that you left her home. I know she's not by herself. Her older sister's there, but we want you to be like Jay Iris before you get home. The healing is all as well. God just wanted you to come on so when you can get back, when you get back, you'll see. I didn't need you to do what I do good. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. That have come with us. Let's thank God for this. God, thank you this morning for all of the gifts that are given here in this place as well, God. We thank you for the gifts that have been given electronically. They all serve the self-same purpose. We need the blessings of the tithers, the givers, those that give an offering and in support electronically to reap the same blessing as those that are here in person. Do it in the name of Jesus now, God, and that can be done. God, we ask you to now do away with the devourer for our sakes in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. Thank you. All right. Looking forward to seeing you all again soon. God bless you. We have guests with us. You'd like to say good morning? Amen. All right. God bless you. Good morning. Thank God that you were here and that the Spirit of God, not that you chose, but that the Spirit of God permitted you to come. Amen. And to share with us. Your Amen. Presence will linger even when you leave. Amen. Amen. You've brought such a warm spirit in this house this morning. Happy anniversary to my wife again. I robbed her of 2 years because I kept saying our 13th year and it was 15. I don't know what was wrong. I guess I stay focused on keeping the date down until I forget the number of years. But, so, man, when I tell you that God blessed us, God, he blessed us. Amen. Amen. And the way that we measure that blessing is because we see that the seed remains.
Amen.
Amen. Nothing material, just that the seed remains that's in our children, and I praise God for them. All right, let's come to our feet, and we're ready to go. As you go your way, and to those that are still with us online, you're still streaming, we appreciate you. We thank God for you, you being here with us each week, sharing with us and taking out of your time. Thank you for sharing with others to come and to share in this experience on Sunday service at Nations Harvest. We love you. And remember that you are not an external part. You are an internal part of what this body of Christ is all about. Amen. At Amen. Nations Harvest. And we appreciate you so much for you having the dedication to our extended church, Nations Harvest in Anniston, Alabama. We love you. We thank God for you. Anniston will always be a part of this nucleus.
Amen.
It is. Amen. And we thank God for you. Thank you for your support and your love for us. Now, as you go your way this week in peace. In Jesus' name.